From APM, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. Of all the near future big ideas that the tech industry has promised us, traveling in vacuum tubes might be the closest on science that also feels pretty far out. Like asteroid mining, there's a limited number of companies that want to do it, none that actually do it, and even fewer that claim a convincing proof of concept. Hyperloop One is announcing today that it has cleared that last hurdle. Its 500-yard Hyperloop track in the Nevada desert has reportedly levitated a compartment going 70 miles per hour for more than 5 seconds. Hyperloop One has also been known for some legal troubles. Here to talk about all of this are co-founders Shervin Pishavar, co-founder and executive chairman of Hyperloop One, and Josh Geigel, co-founder and president of engineering at the company. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
So, Josh, the company just announced what you're calling the first new mode of transportation in over 100 years. What happened?
Over the last 10 months in the desert, we've had a group of about 200 engineers, technicians, fabricators building a full-scale tube and, you know, had our first Kitty Hawk moment, like the first time the Wright brothers had the, the plane fly. And now we're getting ready to move into the next phase of testing, which will take us up to about 250 miles an hour.
Okay. Well, Shervin, let me ask you a little bit about this near future. What is the eventual consumer-facing goal of the company, and when are you going to arrive at that destination, so to speak?
The dual vision is to do cargo and people. So you can essentially turn cities into metro stops, change the definition of where people live and work. And then on the cargo side, you could have real-time efficiency in the economy. So when people order something, it could be manufactured, distributed, and delivered in a 48-hour to 72-hour period of time.
But where are you planning on putting this stuff?
We would love to have Hyperloop One building in the U.S., but at the same time, we have to build it where there is support to do that.
So we're talking about...
We can't comment on where we think the specific conversations are going, but if it happens in the Middle East first, I think that wouldn't be surprising, but there's a lot of progress all in our conversations with governments around the world, so we feel pretty good about that.
You guys have been tied up in this lawsuit. Your former CTO and co-founder and three other former employees filed this breach of fiduciary duty and misuse of corporate resources lawsuit. I understand that's been settled. It's hard enough for transportation companies to gain the basic trust of riders and users. How will you go about establishing that trust when one of the main narratives about the company is about this kind of infighting and accusations of being financially irresponsible?
The key is building and showing people that it works. And that's why what we've announced this week is that we've made history by actually building the first Hyperloop working full scale in the deserts in Nevada. And our goals are to go from building to making this the fastest, cheapest, safest form of transportation in the world.
So essentially you're saying the proof will be in the pudding for you guys.
Yeah, it's hard to ride PowerPoint, right?
Shervin Pishavar is co-founder and executive chairman of Hyperloop One, and Josh Geigel is co-founder and president of engineering. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ben.
Let me ask you something. What is a very reasonable price for snacks and cleaning products and beauty products? Like, pick a nice round number. If you said $3, then you are the target customer of a new online retail startup called Brandless. Brandless claims to connect the supplier more directly to the buyer. It's got no really recognizable branding on its packaging. High standards for socially conscious shoppers, whether they're buying lip balm, a spatula, or peanut butter. And it all costs $3 before shipping. Here to talk about the company is co-founder Tina Sharkey. Tina, hi. How are you?
Hi, I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm good. And I've been looking at your stuff online. The first thought I had was this packaging reminds me kind of vaguely of IKEA. And that brought me to this question of Brandless kind of having a brand, even if it's brandless. You're kind of sneaky about this.
No, we're actually not sneaky about anything. Let me be really clear. Brandless is absolutely a brand. It used to be about what a brand said about itself. we're redefining what that means, which is really about what a friend tells a friend.
What is the benefit for consumers?
Everything at Brandless is either natural or organic or kosher or one of the values that you care about and the best quality, except everything at Brandless is $3.
Why $3?
The simplicity of it. We're going to simplify the choice. We're going to not have 30 ketchups that you have to choose from. We're going to have one. But when it comes to things like snacks, you know, let's face it, 98.8% of American households have snacks, and people are willing to try new things and share them with friends and et cetera. So
I feel bad for the 1.2% that doesn't have snacks.
I know, that's, right? I think those people just didn't fill out their survey. But if they'd known there was a snack in it for them, they might have.
Let me ask you this. Are you trying to compete with Amazon? And if so, how are you going to do that?
Brandless is about limiting the choice, is about curating the just what matters. It's overwhelming to use a web service with a database of millions and millions of products to figure out the ones you want, how to shop, how to identify the values, etc.
Tina Sharkey, she is co-founder of the company Brandless. Tina, thank you very much for chatting with us.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be here.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.